Hello, 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 you guys. 50 episodes of This Is Life Unfiltered. I am freakishly smiling as I say that because I think I'm slightly shocked that we've managed to get to 50 weeks. And I say we because I really do feel like This Is Life Unfiltered and you guys are as much of a part of my journey as my journey is to me. And so your ongoing support and love and dedication to this podcast week after week is literally what gets me up in the morning. But if this is your first time listening to an episode, my name is Alexa Curtis, and This Is Life Unfiltered is my weekly podcast that I started now over 50 weeks ago to unfilteredly talk about my journey and where I am in my entrepreneurial journey and my personal journey and my just overall journey to find happiness and be successful in the company that I started back in 2011, but I've really been doing full time for about 2 years now. So on October 15th, I turned 21. And as you guys know, if you've been following This Is Life Unfiltered, as well as me for a while, I moved to LA over a year ago now. I can't believe come December 14th of this year, that's exactly 1 year ago, I was getting a breast reduction actually in Boston, and my life was completely, completely different. And it is so insane for me to think about how my life has changed over the past year. But before I get into this episode, you guys make sure to write a review, write a comment. We're 50 episodes in. I bet there's things I could be doing or saying that would make some of you guys want to listen to more episodes or follow more on social media. So please write a review on the App Store or follow us on social media at This Is Life Podcast or at TILU Podcast on Twitter. And my personal social media is at Alexa_Curtis. But since we're 50 episodes in, when I first started This Is Life Unfiltered, I began it with a girl who I knew in Connecticut, and I no longer do it with her. And she has moved to a different city. And I now my best friend is actually dating her ex-boyfriend. So that's a new thing, which is kind of cool or not cool, depending how you view it. And then I moved to LA September of a year ago, and I did the podcast for a bit with Gabe, and now I do it just me, and I love this podcast. I have interviewed so many incredible guests, from Amanda Bradford, who's my most recent, who's the founder of The League, to Sophie Elgort, Montana Tucker, Chelsea Crockett, Michelle Grant of Lively, Andy Pudicombe of Headspace. This podcast has allowed me to meet so many unique individuals and share my story and learn so much about their story. And the thing about this podcast and what I've learned behind the scenes, as well as what I hopefully showcase to you guys, is this journey that we're all on our unique own journey. But the specific journey about entrepreneurship is not an easy one. It's not supposed to be easy. And through my stories and my authenticity and openness, along with the entrepreneurs that I have on, that's what the goal is behind my messaging and behind my journey and always has been. And I hope you see that through everything that I do and through the guests that I have on. I did a talk a few weeks ago now at UCLA when my parents were in town, and I did two back-to-back talks on social media. And during one of the talks, after the talk, I think it was either myself or the panelist next to me, who I am going to be interviewing over the next few weeks for the podcast, said, "What do you guys want to be when you grow up?" Or he raised his hand and asked the kids in the audience a question. There was actually a decent amount of kids, over 100, and he said, "Show of hands, how many of you want to be famous when you're older?" And about 99% of the kids in the audience raised their hand. And I remember that feeling. I remember being 14, 15, 16, and you want to be famous. That's the American dream, right? Screw the white picket fence when you have fame and fortune. And he said, "Let me ask you a second question. How many of you guys want to be happy?" And about 30% of the kids raised their hand, the ones that had brought their hand down after the fame question. And that stung a little bit, in my opinion and in my mind, because it was frustrating to me to see that so many kids are desperate for fame, are desperate for viral attention, are desperate for likes and comments and new friends online. But how many of us know what this definition of happiness is? How many people are willing to sacrifice personal happiness for a better position in their career, a better boyfriend or girlfriend, skinnier body, prettier hair? I mean, what really is happiness? And that's what I wanted to talk about on this episode, is because that's what I've been struggling a lot with lately, is understanding and acknowledging what happiness is and what my definition of happiness is. When I was little, I always thought, I wanted to be famous for a very small period of time when I was very, very, very little. And then when I got into my website and I realized what my true calling was, which was, you know, inspiring people and talking to young adults and hopefully guiding them in the right direction, I realized that I no longer believed in the whole fame thing. I didn't really care about that. It was so silly to me. I just wanted to continue on my journey, on my mission. But I always attributed wealth when I was younger to happiness. I always thought if you have a ton of money in your bank account, and this is something that my mom specifically instilled in me because she grew up so poor. She was very abused in England, which is where she's from. And so we never had a lot of money growing up. I struggled being the one in my grade who a lot of times was given like the gifts at Christmas. When my dad was in prison, we were chosen multiple years in a row at my middle school to be the family that was given the gifts, and it was mortifying. But I struggled with that so much, as I just said, I just want to grow up, and I want to have, if I ever have kids, I want to have money to give them, because my mom struggled so much and she really couldn't give me anything besides, you know, the occasional shopping trip to the Gap, or we would go on like one vacation every few years. But besides that, it was really difficult for her, especially when my dad was gone. So over the past 2 years, as I've become stable in my financial situation, I've become stable where I'm 21, but I have a decent amount of money in my savings. If I get a lot of money, I put a lot of money into my savings. I buy myself what I want. I am allowed to do what I want with my money because it's my money and I don't have to ask anybody. Unlike if you are in kind of a relationship with somebody and they have all of the financial power, it's all me. So that's been really difficult for me to kind of comprehend and deal with as I get older and I become further progressed into my career, is battling that, and battling sometimes, I think, people using me because of my career or that little blue check mark on Instagram, or I don't know what they think they can get out of me or this friendship. And that part's uncomfortable, so I battle that too. But the financial part to me is this ongoing struggle of being financially stable and being so petrified that it's all going to go away and I'm not going to be able to pay my rent and I'm not going to be able to live and I'm not going to be able to inspire people. And with my therapist, I've learned to get over that. But that has been a true struggle over the past year. And I want to be vocal about that because as an entrepreneur, it's incredibly important that you have a heavy cash flow, honestly, all of the time, along with savings, because things are going to go wrong. Things are going to go completely in a different direction than you'd expect. And that in these times where I have a lot of money in my bank account, as odd as that weird says out loud, it might sound slightly kind of like selfish or self-absorbed. I'm not saying it in that way. I'm saying it's very important to me now that I understand what it's like to have a lot of money that I make on my own and what it's like to have none. And I've gone through both and now I'm stable. And it's just an adjustment period. But I really highly suggest that all entrepreneurs out there that you have a decent amount of heavy cash flow. And that's what one of my friends who's quite older than me, when I had brunch with her the other day, she said that to me. I said, Ashley, I want you to tell me, do I put this money that I have, because I've been making a decent amount of money from my job, do I put it into savings? Do I give it to a charity? Like, what do I do? And she was like, no, you keep it. You put a little tiny bit into your savings that you can get out immediately. And the rest, you let it sit like a freaking pillow in your bank account. And I was like, what? I was like, my mom, when I was growing up, she always said, you got to put it all in savings because you never know if you're going to get married one day and the guy you're married to is going to go to jail. Like, what happened to your dad? Like, crazy stuff like that. And she said, no, because this is the building blocks of your career. And unfortunately, as an entrepreneur, there is a lot of this industry that is very expensive, that when you're starting a company that takes more money to put in, that you're going to have to invest yourself than you're going to get out. And because of that, she said, keep it in your bank account. And so that's what I'm learning. So that's the first thing that I've learned over the past year. But I want to dive a little bit deeper into my story and what's been going on in my personal life, because I haven't been as, I think, open and honest and candid in a while, especially on This Is Life Unfiltered or on my social media. Or maybe I have been, but not as deep as I would like to be, because I don't like to talk about too much negativity or showcase too much negativity besides the journey part of it. And not that my life is negative, but there are things that happen and I'm human and I make a lot of mistakes and boys are really mean and just silly things like that. But obviously the first thing that I want to talk about is Disney. So this new show that I have on Radio Disney has been incredible. And every day I am so happy, happy that I have the show, but it's been quite an adjustment period to understand corporate. There are so many things, you guys, that I am so confused about. And I obviously cannot really vocalize half of these things because, you know, you're contracted in for many parts of this job. But there's a lot of things that are just, you know, are like a new thing. And I feel like every time and every other day, I feel like I'm screwing up. I'm emailing somebody I shouldn't have emailed. I'm saying something I shouldn't have said. I'm tracking the wrong hours or gosh knows why. And especially at a huge company like Disney, there's just so many different branches and people and executives. And it's like, it's so different from working from yourself to working at a company that has so many levels of things. Like if I want something done or accomplished, there's one person who has to ask somebody else, who has to ask somebody else, who has to ask the VP, and then the VP has to ask somebody else. And the littlest thing, like one time I emailed the wrong person, I emailed a talent that I wasn't supposed to email, and his whole team contacted the VP, and the VP contacted my team, and I'm just like, oh my God, I had no clue. So that those first, it's November, almost December now, but those first September, the beginning of September to the end of October, were so rough on me. I was crying, honestly, a lot. I was having a lot of breakdowns, a lot of severe anxiety attacks in the middle of the night. And so much of it was stemmed from just because I think a part of me is a real perfectionist. And when I'm being told, like, you screwed up, or why'd you do that wrong, or why'd you do that wrong? And obviously, in a very nice way, everyone's just trying to teach me how to properly do this and do this show. It hurts because my biggest critic is me, and now I have other eyes on me and other people who expect things out of me. But besides that, I have been so lucky and blessed to meet so many people. I mean, the fact that I get so many emails like every day and every messages on Instagram, like, I want to be on your show is so crazy to me. I'm like, oh my gosh, is this how I feel like when I'm pitching somebody else? I want to be on their show. So that part's really cool. But it's crazy because I was always very religious with getting up at a certain time, going to the gym at a certain time, just keeping a really strict schedule. I have my WeWork office, so I spent most of the time, I would always spend most of the time there when I got the office. But now I spend about 2 to 3 days a week in production at Disney, which is in Burbank. It's really surreal. It's like there's a whole like lot, and it's the whole Disney thing. And I go next door to this amazing coffee shop right next to my studio, and it's like celebrity, actor, singer, da-da, and it's like all industry people, and it's so cool. And they have such a good salad that's really overpriced, but I love it. But having to now wake up, because this sounds silly, but having to wake up because you have to wake up, like now I wake up at 6 a.m., you know, mostly the same time, unless I just need a day to not wake up at 6 a.m. But now I have certain meetings that I have to go to and events that I have to attend and interviews that I have to host. And it's not like when you're working for yourself, you obviously can be like, oh, you know, I'll tell my assistant, reschedule that call, or I'm late at the gym, or I'm just not in the mood to talk to that person. And now I don't have that type of flexibility. So that's been really quite unusual for me as well, because as much of a routine as I was on, and now it's this new level of a routine where, like, if I don't show up, like I'm screwed. And I want to just impress everybody and I want to make everybody happy. But along with that, I think that there comes this fine line between not overworking yourself, in the sense that now it's not like you're working to make your show as successful, like as much as I'm doing that, there's a part of me that's also like, I'm working to just keep everybody happy and keep my guests happy. And now I'm kind of getting to a point now that we're about like 2 months in where I'm like, you know, I think I can balance this properly. Like if I need to cancel a guest, I'm going to cancel a guest. And that's because I might need a day off. That's because I also have a completely other company that I run alongside this show that I make a full living off of. I work really part-time hours at Disney. So I'm allowed to work X amount of hours up to a week. But after that, I have to do a ton of other stuff, which is my blog, which is sponsored posts, which is TV segments, which is everything else to make a living off of, really. And because of that, now I'm just getting to a point where I'm much more comfortable. I'm getting in the swing of things. I know who I can email and who I can talk to and question and everything. But it's been such a learning journey. And this whole fearless thing really has gotten me out of my comfort zone. And seeing so many young people also get out of their comfort zone and tag me on things on social media and tell me things that they did that were fearless, it just melts my heart. I mean, I don't even have words for it. It's incredible. So that's pretty much what's been going on with that. And I feel just so proud of myself that I got this show and that it worked out and that I've had so many guests on and I have so many new ideas and all the time. And I want it to lead into more things, but I'm learning a lot about being patient. And I obviously recently hired a publicist, which is another new step in my career. Something I never thought I would do. I never thought I would pay somebody this much money to do something for me. But that same friend who told me I need a cushion in my bank account said, sometimes you have to give the power away to get more back. And I agree with her. It's been a little bit of a struggle. I am having a bit of a power struggle in all of these new jobs, because as much as it's my name and I'm at the forefront of it, it's like, you're still waiting for somebody to reply. You're still waiting for now somebody else to act on something. So the Disney and the publicist kind of go hand in hand with how much what I'm learning about having to give that power away and give it to somebody else, and also be patient. So as much as I have these new ideas and I want things to progress fast, I can't. They're not going to. I now have a corporate job and things do not work fast there at all. They work in an untimely manner, but in a manner that very properly gets things done. And I have a tendency to move way too quick. So those two things are two things now that I've been talking quite a lot about with my therapist, who has really been helping me learn to fine tune that anxiety that I constantly have. And every time I talk to her, she tells me new things and new techniques that I can do to deal with the anxiety. But the whole new job for me, a new path into my career, my therapist has really helped in so many different ways. I cannot preach enough how much therapy changed my life and continues to change my life. Today, I had a call with my therapist. I talked to her on Skype, well, FaceTime, because I, number one, don't have time to go into an office. And number two, I found this one woman and she's in New Jersey and I've had her for a year and I really like her. So I talked to her today. Today was a really rough day. I don't know why I'm on my period. Today was just shitty, to say the least. And I got on the phone with her and I was so anxious. And she said, well, you know, I don't know if you realize, but like we haven't talked since October 31st, which is when that's the next day my parents came into town. And she was like, I think that it's really important for you specifically to just stay on a schedule. I do really well when I stay on a specific schedule, when I'm constantly talking to my therapist at least once a week. My copay is still, I believe, $30. So I pay that. But for me, that just helps me really stay calm and focused. I slacked off a bit with meditating. I traveled an insane amount last week. If you follow me on social media, you know that I went to Orlando for 6 hours. Literally, I was physically exhausted. And then I went to Napa and had a bit of a rough time there. And now I came back to LA and I have so much work to do because I would really like to take a few days off this week. But I really haven't taken a day off. I've been working every single weekend at Disney at the studio in like 4-6 weeks. There's something about, I think it's just my genetics. I don't do well when I overwork myself this much. I start to get very burnt out. I start to get mad at myself, frustrated, pissed off. I start to be a bitchy friend. All these things add up. But that's what my therapist has really been helping me deal with. So today I spoke to her on the phone and she said, let's try and make sure we talk every week or every other week, just so that you can stay on that routine. Because if you miss those weeks, that's when I have days like today. But for those of you who are struggling with finding a therapist or looking for a therapist who fits in your price range or is accepted by your insurance, please don't hesitate to reach out to me or check out this, the blog post that I put up on Life Unfiltered with Alexa that showcases all of the platforms for therapy practices and practices that accept your insurance. I've talked a lot about that, and I can probably help maybe one or two of you out with some type of a free month of therapy if you need to get in touch with me and you really need a free therapist. I believe you probably have to be 18, I'm pretty sure, but please don't hesitate to reach out. Therapy is quite incredible. I made a little list here, you guys, of things that I want to remember to talk about on this episode as I go deeper now into my personal life. But when I moved to LA, from Boston, I had been living in Boston for 2 years. If you've never been to Boston, Boston is my favorite city in the world. I am such an East Coast person. I just thrive so well on the East Coast. And when I moved to LA, I was in a relationship up until March of this year. I had been dating somebody who I met at a grocery store in my hometown for 2 years. And March of this year, I decided to end the relationship just for a few different reasons. I really never posted him on my social media. So if you're going to go back and try and find him, he had no social media. Like, that's why I loved him so much. He was so out of this industry. He wanted to be a professional golfer. He was just, at the end of the day, just very normal. The way that my mind works, I don't know what the word normal is. I don't know how to describe it, but I would say somebody normal is somebody who can, like, you know, maintain a 9-to-5 job, maintain financial stability all the time, relationships, isn't necessarily interested in making new friends or nurturing new relationships, is just very, like, happy as is. I'm like a live wire, to say the least. I don't have an easy time keeping things stable, which is why I do silly things like overwork myself and travel somewhere for 5 hours and sleep for 2, like I did last week, but I don't do that every week. But anywho, so we were in a solid relationship for those 2 years of my life when I was living in Boston. I was paying $1,600 for this kick-ass one bedroom apartment. It was crazy. But at the end of the day, I loved him, but I loved me more. I knew that I would not progress in my career, which is now proven because of Disney and this show, if I stayed in Boston. So we decided to do long distance for a period of time. And I moved out here with Gabe, and we never had any jealousy issues. Like, he was super chill. He really understood me. He was just such a big part of my life. And as little as I did post about him on social media and on my personal platforms, he really did so much for me behind the scenes. But it became to a point where it was kind of like he was almost my assistant, and I felt like I was taking advantage of him in ways because he just was so always there for me. And so in March of this year, we went to Arizona and we got back, and we had just been kind of fighting. And any of my friends know that, like, if I get in a fight with them, if it's like a severe fight, I have no issues terminating relationships. I've been known to just terminate relationships I think are toxic. If I'm fighting too much with somebody, or I get really, really bad vibes from somebody, and I just don't see that there's any really coming back from it, I'll just end a relationship. I'll end a friendship. And you might think that's like quite aggressive and a little bit unnecessary, but I really just live for these friendships that I have, these relationships that I have that are deep. I just don't enjoy having relationships in my life that make me unhappy. So we had that really good 2-year run. And then over Easter, I sat down with him, and I'd never done this before, and I broke up with him. And I knew if I broke up with him that he would probably never get back together with me. I mean, this is the nicest guy in the world. He's attractive. He's gonna be really successful one day. He's so kind, awesome family, quite religious. But, you know, he hadn't moved out. He was older than me. He still lived at home, wasn't in the same career place as me. And because of that, I ended that relationship. So now it's been, I don't know, March to November, and I have not met anybody else. When I moved to LA, I really didn't think it would be harder to meet guys here than in Boston. And I'm like a fun, flirty person. I never really was looking for a relationship. Like, I wasn't looking for a relationship when I met him. I'm not really looking for a relationship now. I'm just kind of a spur of the moment. Like, if I meet somebody who I like, then I'll go out with you. But I didn't realize that in LA, it's like you meet somebody and they seem super cool and then they like ghost you or they meet somebody else. And I kind of say it's like the playground. So all the guys that I've met in LA, I really liked this one guy. He was so awesome, or I thought he was, super funny, super attractive. I met him through this kid that I went to high school with. Long story short, gosh, it was like months and months of months. I loved the game. So I was chasing after him. And he would give me like a little attention and then none. And then a little attention and then none. And then finally one night we all went out and we had our fun and whatever. And I just made a silly mistake that night and just kind of did something that was just really dumb. And it wasn't a big deal, but I just made a dumb mistake, a young person mistake. And this was a few months ago now. And that kind of terminated our relationship. But I don't think he was the right person for me anyway. But I did really like him. And I really, now that I'm older, I'm only 21, but I really see the value in those relationships that are deep. So it takes time for me to get to know somebody and like want to hang out with them and date them or go out with them. And it took me a while to kind of want to hang out with him and get to know him. And then when I finally did, I really am vulnerable and I let myself like open myself up and talk about my family and talk about my career and all that stuff. And then he ended up being shitty. And since then, I have not met any other guys. I went on one Bumble date. It was awful. It wasn't even awful, but the guy kind of ghosted me after. And I'm Alexa Curtis. Like, I don't get ghosted. And this dude just ghosted. Like, we went out like once and then talked for 4 days and then ghosted. And I was like, that's probably better because I'm just not the type of person who would want to be like, mom, I met him on an app. I don't know, that's just not my vibe, but I really respect if you can. But yeah, so I think if I was to meet a guy, it would be really helpful for me just because it helps get me out of my head a bit. When I was in that relationship, that was a pretty intense relationship for my age. I mean, as much as I loved him, like, it was a little intense, but it really helps me stay kind of focused on multiple goals instead of focused on like my career. Because when you're in a relationship with somebody, right, you give a part of yourself to him in a sense, or that person. So I gave a part of myself to him when I dated him. And now that I'm single, it's kind of like my whole life revolves around my career. And as great as that is, that's when I have moments where I get really burnt out and anxious and I don't have anybody to call. Like, all of my family, my parents live on the East Coast. My two best friends live on the East Coast. I have a solid amount of friends now in LA. I'm really lucky that I've met so many incredible people through this show. People who I would have never thought I would become best friends with have now become my best friends. But in LA, everyone's kind of doing their own thing. And on the East Coast, my friends are not in the entertainment industry, which I'm so glad about, but they're 3 hours ahead. Number one, and they're young and they're like screwing around and they're going to clubs and they're not going to want to sit and talk about like career focused stuff. So that's where I just have this constant desire, I think, to be kind of wanted. And I think that's, I hope, really relatable for a lot of people that, yeah, you want to be desired, right? Like, you want somebody to want you and call you every morning and like text you every day. And as annoying as it might be, it's a lot different when it's like somebody that you like, who you care about, who's texting and calling you versus like your mom. But I have a lot of nights where I just sit in bed and I'm like, damn, like, it would be really nice to have somebody just like sitting next to me or like reading a book with me. And I don't have that right now. And it's okay because I'm so focused on my career anyway. But I think that if I can one day meet that person or just meet somebody who's just not a douchebag, then yeah, I don't know. I think that it'll help me balance some stuff more, you know, but that's maybe something that you're dealing with and maybe something you're not. But if you are really desperate to get in a relationship, I do know a lot of people out here in LA and a few of my close girlfriends who put so much focus into men, and dating. And I've never been like that. I'm obviously so career driven, so career focused. So that to me is a little kind of sad. Like, you don't need somebody to fill a void in your life. You don't need somebody to make you feel like you're worthy by like texting you or calling you. As nice as that might be, you don't need that. So if you're a girl or even a guy out there who's battling with that and suffering with feeling like you need somebody out there, then take yourself to therapy. Take yourself on a nice hike every week. Realize that the only person who's going to make you happy is you. And if you do what a lot of my girlfriends do when they get in those serious relationships, they end up being incredibly toxic and they push that person away eventually because they haven't learned how to love themselves yet. themselves. That's what I told my friend on Sunday. One of my friends who I went on a trip with, and I said to her, she just said, why do I feel like I obviously have daddy issues, but she's like, I have such abandonment issues and I push these guys away. And I was like, because listen, you have not found how to love yourself yet, but you're finding a way to love these guys. And that means that you're taking away the attention that should be given on yourself and be giving on making yourself a better and a stronger person, and you're giving it to these guys. And I said, that's not okay, because you're going to be older and you're going to get in a shitty relationship, and you're probably going to have a lot of money if that's the kind of guy that you want. And you're going to wake up one day and you're going to say, man, I wasted all those years where I could have been selfish and I gave it all to this guy, and I gave it all to, or that guy or that person. And these are the years, you beautiful people who are listening, these are the years that are going to make you into who you are. Be selfish, have awesome friends, date if you like dating. If you don't like dating, don't date. Don't force yourself to do anything that makes you unhappy. Force yourself to get out of your comfort zone. Don't do anything you're really going to regret. But I highly, 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 highly suggest make mistakes. Am I crazy for saying that? Sure. But make mistakes. Do things that make you so uncomfortable that you might end up making a mistake from, because you're going to learn so much. Like that weekend that I had my little fun time with that group of friends, I learned a lot when I woke up on Monday. A few things. I learned not to ever spend a whole day with a guy that you like. Just spend a few hours. I learned the type of friends that I want in my life, and they're not that group of people. I learned what makes me most anxious and how I deal with it and get out of a depressed state that I was in. And I learned who to trust in LA. And that was a big mistake. That was a big mistake. And it wasn't even a mistake. It was just something I felt really bad about that got me really down. But I look back now, and it was like a month ago, and I think I learned so much, so much. And if that hadn't happened, I would probably still be friends with this, with these people, and I would have gotten burned even harder. So make mistakes, learn something, but make your mistakes and walk away knowing something from it. And if you screw up, if you do something that's silly, if you, I don't know, you do something and you get in trouble with your parents, be honest, be open, like tell your therapist what happened, tell your friend, tell your mom even, and just say, but here's what I learned. I think if you can take every situation and swap it and add something at the end that just says, here's what I learned, you're going to be fine. We're all going to be fine. We're all on this journey. We're all learning new things. We're all having different experiences, but all on this journey together. And that's what matters. I don't know. I think that this was hopefully a little bit of a raw episode of This Is Life Unfiltered. I want to be as honest about my journey, about my struggles, about my everything with you, so that you hopefully feel inspired to follow in this path, but be aware of what it's like being 21, if you want to be an entrepreneur or not, but like being 21, living on your own, being completely financially stable, but also on your own, having been in a relationship, a really serious relationship, and now not being in a relationship and like learning that whole thing again, but also having to put on a certain front because, you know, you're in the public eye. So there's certain things you can say and that you can't say. All of that stuff, I just want everyone to know. And my life, my journey has taught me so much. I've learned so much over the past 6 years, more than I would have ever thought I would know at 21. And I think one of these days I'm going to find what happiness is. I haven't found it yet. I don't know what that definition of happiness is yet, but I know that everything that I do and that I learn is taking me one step closer to being happy. And I think the ups and the downs, as much as that stable weeks that I'll have, the ups and the downs are really what keep me centered and humble and focused on my goal of being the next Ellen or Oprah, because all of that stuff, just you have to get up and the next day. And I think if you can deal with stuff and you can get up the next day, you're going to be okay. It's those times where you're so sad and you're so upset that you can't get up that you're like, that's when you need help. And I think so far, surprisingly, over the past year, I haven't had any really severe depression. I have had severe and continue to have severe anxiety. But depression is awful. I hate depression. but I have luckily not had any certain situations where I haven't been able to get up. So every time I make those mistakes and I might get really anxious and feel myself being quite sad or quite uncomfortable, I know that me getting out of bed means something. And one of these days, I am going to be successful in my own scheme of things, whatever that means to me, and I'm going to find happiness. And I am happy, but I haven't found what happiness is. So that's what my journey is. That's what I want to focus on for the next year and a half, is filling my life with people who bring me up, with people who make me feel stronger and more empowered and more centered. And I advise everyone to do the same. If somebody is not being nice to you, if you're going out with a shitty girl or guy, if you're at a job that you despise and you really don't like your boss, get out. Life is too short, and you are not going to find that definition of happiness unless you get out and you find and pave your own path. So do what makes you feel happy. Stay inspired. Stay strong. I love every single one of you guys and all of your messages and everything. I'm so thrilled to be at 50 episodes so far. And I'm also quite thrilled because I am excited to announce that the summit idea that I had is going to be taking place March 15th, 2019 at Drexel University in Pennsylvania. Oh my gosh. I can't believe that that was an idea that I had. I don't know. I had this idea in June. And the fact that it's coming to life is, oh my gosh, I feel so stressed now, more anxious, because I'm like, how am I going to pull this together? But I'm going to pull it together because I can't not pull it together. So I'm going to have to, and I'm going to have to be happy throughout the whole time too, which I am. And I love it. And I'm so excited. So if you want to be a part, please check out fearlesssummit.org. Submit to be a speaker, submit your friend to be a speaker. This is going to be hosted in Philadelphia. We've got a whole day lineup. I'm putting together a whole team, and I'm really, really, really quite excited to showcase this and this new side of my career. And I'm really happy. And I thank you all so much, so deeply from the bottom of my heart, for being a part of this podcast, for being a part of this magic, for watching my journey and sharing it and telling your friends about my life, in the hopes that it will inspire you all to create your own journey and paths. You're all incredible, incredible human beings. And I can't wait to see us 50 episodes from now. Who knows? Maybe I'll have a little show on the Disney Channel. But make sure to follow me on social media at Alexa_Curtis. Check out my show Fearless Every Day that airs every Friday on Radio Disney at 9 p.m. PST. To listen, download the iHeartRadio or the Radio Disney app, or listen directly on the Radio Disney website. And this podcast now is available on Spotify, SoundCloud, the podcast app, Stitcher. Oh gosh, This Is Life Unfiltered is available on everything, and I'm really happy about that. I think we're actually going to be partnering soon with iHeartRadio to bring this podcast to a new platform, which will be great, along with the Disney show. And I'm thrilled to be able to share my story with you guys in the way that I do and empower you to create your own lives and journeys with yourself. So thank you, thank you, thank you for following. If there's anything that you think that I could be doing better or talking more about, please write a review on the App Store. I love hearing from you guys. And if you also want to submit to speak or be a part of This Is Life Unfiltered, you can submit directly on the website, which is TILUpodcast.com. That's a wrap, you guys. I'm going to head to pack, and then I'm going to go to the airport tomorrow and take time off and do me. I'm going to do stuff for me and just relax. I highly suggest you guys do that for your Thanksgiving. Don't get burnout. Don't let yourself get burnout. There's no reason for that to happen. Take a day off. Who really cares? Nothing's going to happen if you take a day or a week or whatever off, but do what you need to do to keep your mental health happy. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to eat a lot. I'm going to go to the homeless shelter in my hometown, actually, and bring some pies and stuff that makes me feel so good. And then I'm going to be speaking at two colleges next week, talking to Drexel for our little summit whole thing that's going to be going on. And then I'm heading back to LA. So I'll see you guys next week. Love you. Stay in the unfiltered lane. Trust me, it's the best one. Bye, guys.